Welcome to Do This, Not That, the podcast for marketers. You'll walk away from each episode with actionable tips you can test immediately. You'll hear from the best minds in marketing who will share tactics, quick wins, and pitfalls to avoid. We'll also dig into life, pop culture, and the chaos that is our everyday. I'm Jay Schwedelson. Let's do this, not that. We are back for Do This, Not That, presented by Marigold. And today we're launching a new series. It is called My Path. It's all about how people that are successful in sales and marketing, how do they get to where they are? Because nobody really starts out and ends up in the place they think they're going to wind up and do and all this stuff. And there is nobody better to start this series with than the guest that we have today. So we got Jeff Schiller. Who's Jeff Schiller? Well, maybe you know him. He's the chief revenue officer at Vox Media. Now, you got to be living under a rock if you don't know Vox. I mean, they have 132 million people that they reach on their platform. They have 400 million social media followers. Like, they have New York Magazine and The Verge and The Cut, and their podcast network gets over 36 million monthly downloads, which is just crazy. And Jeff is the chief revenue officer. It's all his fault. So Jeff, welcome to the podcast.
Jay, so happy to be here. So happy to see you. Thank you for giving all the flowers to Vox Media, but I want to give you some. You are a legend in the industry and a legend to me. So I am excited to be here.
I appreciate that. You just need to get out more. That's all I know from that. So yes, I've known Jeff for, I don't even want to say how many years, but a really long time, right? And so back when neither one of us knew what the hell we were going to do for a living. And so today we're talking about your path. You got this really cool job now, hanging out with all these cool people, doing all this cool stuff, but you didn't just wake up when you were at the University of Florida and say, that's going to be my plan, Vox Media, I'm going to crush it there. So I want to know, how did this, well, first of all, what do you do for a living? Am I right? And then how did it start?
So I look after the advertising business for Vox Media. So that's everything from standard tactical display, video, audio media to branded content, branded written, short form, long form, documentaries, and events, basically any form of advertising revenue across the entire portfolio of our .com brands, as well as our podcast network. So the strategy, the pricing, the packaging, you know, all of those things fall under the remit of CRO at Vox Media.
It's all your fault.
My fault. One throat to choke. So that's what I do. As far as to your point, like, how did I get here? I think what's really interesting to your point is, like, one unique thing about advertising is most people didn't say they want to be in advertising, but the skills that you pick up along the way sometimes cast the die for you to be perfect in advertising. So for me, it was like being very passionate about people and relationships. And like, I was a political science major in college. And so, you know, a lot of understanding even back to college, how things move in the world applies to our business, because when it comes down to it, it's all about relationships. But I definitely saw that I had a knack for solving problems, which, you know, as fraternity brothers, there was always lots of problems to solve. As fellow chancellors, there were always lots of problems to solve. And like, so the sum total before I started my career of these personal experiences around either leading or relationships or understanding dynamics of how the world works all lend themselves to the advertising business, which is built on relationships. It's built on understanding value and conveying value and negotiating and all of the things that you would do if you were, you know, in other industries. So it was definitely nonlinear. You know, I did not wake up and say, yes, advertising, and I'm going to go on this path. I had an amazing time in Florida. Graduated. I really thought I was going to be in the entertainment business and did that for a hot minute. And maybe I could have gone in that direction if I didn't wind up having to sleep on somebody's futon in LA with no car for 3 months during pilot season. Maybe it wouldn't have turned me off, but I always loved entertainment. And when we graduated, this was back when you would go on Hot Jobs and Monster.com. There was a job at the E Channel for E Online. And I've always been an early adopter. So again, in like the realm of things that make you right for advertising, if you like innovation, you're an early adopter, big check mark. So always been an early adopter. This was, hey, come join E Online, be at the forefront of the digital evolution and help us manifest the E Channel online. Didn't know anything about media, didn't know a CPM, didn't know an impression, nothing. And so I took that job and kind of learned as I went, how to have a CPM calculator at my desk for like the first year, you know, literally knew nothing. And I just found that I loved the industry. I loved creative. I was so naive when I was like a little kid. I was like, TV networks are so cool. They're free. And I never really connected the dots that commercials are the reason for TV networks existing. It's not the other way around. And so, but I always loved great commercials and great creative. And I loved campaigns that were out in the wild that made a difference. Taglines, you know, I love movie taglines, but obviously brand taglines as well. And so as I spent time at the E Channel understanding just like the baseline of the advertising business, I knew at that point, like, that is why it made sense for me. This is where I want to be. And I sort of charted a course for getting from here to there, which would be from sales assistant at E Online 24.75 years ago to chief revenue officer of Vox Media. So that is the initial, like, how did I get in and, you know, the why behind it.
So, okay, you're at E Online, you got your CPM calculator, you have no idea what's going on. Okay. And now they're like, you're going to do sales. You have to generate sales. I mean, now you're not doing marketing and advertising. Yeah, making commercials seems like fun, but you have to sell stuff. Like, were you good at sales? Are you just some sort of, like, you know, Glengarry Glen Ross? You're just crush it at sales? Or did you have to figure that out?
I definitely had to figure it out. I don't think most of us are, like, generally likable. Maybe not you, but but most of, no, you're the most, literally, oh, yeah. I'm going to give another plug. Jay is literally the best human. I worshiped him in college. He was the coolest guy ever. And most of us are likable. And so that's like the underpinning of why anyone in sales is successful. Are you likable? Secondarily, like in our everyday civilian lives, we tell stories. Some of us are horrible storytellers. I've always been like a good one. I could carry a conversation with, you know, a brick wall. And so a lot of those personal attributes and personality traits just lent themselves to me being able to form relationships. And then I've always been a curious person. So lots of questions. There are people that just talk. I usually do more listening than talking, at least at first. And so I found it really easy to sell because I looked at it as a human interaction, not as a transaction. And there was a component of I just wanted to work harder than everybody else and, you know, have a chip on my shoulder and advance faster and do all the things. But I wouldn't have been successful if I, you know, read it from a manual. You know, it's like that scene in The Karate Kid where Ralph Macchio is trying to do karate from a book, you know, versus Mr. Miyagi, like, teaching him. And it never works. You have to be authentic. So I think that is a big part of why sellers are either successful or unsuccessful.
So if I'm out there right now and I'm in a sales job, right, selling media of some kind, and I'm like, I hate this. I suck at this. I don't even like, you know, doing whatever. Is it like an instant, relatively instant thing that, you know, okay, this isn't my gig, I got to pivot? Or is selling media something that you can really grow to love over time? Like, how quickly would you tell somebody to pivot out of sales in media if they don't like it? I mean, did you know immediately?
I did know immediately because I think my sector, generally speaking, of publishing or whatever you want to call it, non-platform media, is built on things that I love personally. So I would say first and foremost, you'll know you'll love it immediately is if it's merging what you like to read, watch, listen to with what you're selling. So if that's divergent, then you're not, it's going to take a little bit longer. But for me, it was immediate because I was like, oh, I love movies. I love TV. I love music. Like, great. I'm doing these things. That's always been a thread at all of the places that I've worked at. There's always been something that I hung on to. And I would say for those people out there that are questioning, is this right for me? If they're not doing something that they're interested in and it seems like a slog, then that is a red flag or like a sort of moment of pause that they should take and say, you know what? Like, yeah, I'm not passionate about what I'm doing and I'm not seeing results. That said, if it's they're passionate about it and they're not seeing results, then I would give it more time and I would really be introspective and say, what am I missing? Am I doing being too clinical? Am I not asking enough questions? Like, I do think a lot of success is driven by treating your job, at least through sales, as an investigative reporter. I should go into a conversation with you knowing who, what, when, where, why, and how. If I go in cold, I'm not making good use of your time. And so some of the skills can be taught. The passion really can't be taught. So if the passion is there, but the skills aren't, and they're not seeing results, I think give it some time, make sure that those things that I mentioned are being sort of deployed properly. And usually you'll see results. Some people are resistant and they don't want to take feedback and they don't see the results. And then they wind up sort of spinning out of the job anyway. But for anyone that is in that mode of like, I love what I do, but I'm not that good at it, it's worth asking those questions. Like, how am I approaching it? And what's falling off and how do I fix it?
So along the lines of trying to kind of better yourself and up-level your skills and stuff, you hire a lot of people, right? I mean, I can only imagine the amount of people you've interviewed and considered and whatever for all sorts of different roles, especially sales roles. What is like the secret sauce? Somebody sits down with Jeff and they do this, it's going to help, or they do this and that's it, they're gone. Like, what are you looking for when you're interviewing somebody?
When I'm interviewing, it for me, it's the behaviors, the what they talk about. It's not the who, it's like, it's what they talk about and how they talk about the job. It's their strategy. I want to know, are they strategic? Are they strategically aggressive, not aggressive? Do they have a plan? Are they methodical? It's all of these buzzwords that if they mention those things and they say, this is how I go to market, this is how I organize myself, major check boxes for yes. If they speak through the lens of jargon and talk about whatever nonsense, our industry is, you know, obviously the best at creating jargon. And it's like a shallow, thin layer of profiling that you can get from that person, then that's when my spider sense goes off. And I'm like, yeah, no, this person is saying the right things, but they actually don't know how to do them. For me, when I lead the teams that I lead, I always talk about this notion of actions are equal to results. And obviously that might be a little counterintuitive in sales because sales is inherently results driven, but I firmly believe if you take all the right actions, the results will come. And so when I'm interviewing someone and I don't hear them use those words that I know will lead to the right actions, that is like non-starter for sure.
Let me ask something, and this is kind of off script, but let's say you're considering somebody. Is somebody having a personal brand like a good thing or a bad thing? Meaning like you go, I'm sure you look somebody up on LinkedIn before you hire them, like, oh, we have 27 connections that are the same and they're important people and they share a lot on social media. I like what they're sharing on LinkedIn or whatever, big check mark. Or is it like, uh-oh, they're a little bit too out there. They're sharing their opinion too much. We don't need that in our team. Like, where's a personal brand fit in terms of being a good fit for an organization?
Personal brands are great as long as they're balanced. You know, and the sort of notion of the celebrity CMO or celebrity CEO, the ones that are the most effective are the ones that are actually doing the work, not spending 9 out of 10, you know, or 90% of their time on panels. You don't need to hear yourself talk more than a couple of times a year to be effective as building your personal brand. And so I think it's just balance. If somebody comes in and it's like, they are really confident and they've said, hey, look, I built this business at this old company and you can see on LinkedIn, I promoted the hell out of it. Amazing. If that's all they do and you again, your spider sense kind of, you know, rings and you're like, oh yeah, this person's a really good talker. Like, we don't need industry evangelists. We need leaders. We need doers. And so I would definitely say personal brand is great, but if it errs on the side of not being a leader or a doer, then it's not worth the conversation.
So, all right, before we have to wrap up on this thing, I want to know something because you, when I was looking through everything, like, how the hell is this dude doing all? They got 500 websites and 5 zillion podcasts and 4, I don't even know what the hell's going on over there. I can't even keep up with everything you got going on. And I know you're a super invested dad. You got a bunch of kids over there. How the hell do you manage your time? Like, do you get up at 2 a.m? Are you like insane? Like, what's your deal?
That's a really good question. No, I get up at 6 a.m, go to the gym. And then I just started taking the ferry to work because I'm in New Jersey, which I don't know why it took me this long, but it's the most amazing thing. I could chill. I'm not stressed when I get in. So I think stress management is a big part of it. But in terms of balance, it's like, I don't go out during the week unless it's a really compelling reason, because otherwise I'll never see my family, my wife, my kids. And so in order for me to make the decision to go out with a client, like, there's a high bar. It's like a really important client or a really important relationship. I'm not going to do something just because. I'm going to make sure it's a good use of my time. And by doing that, I get to spend time with them. And then, you know, obviously they're getting older. They're running around. On the weekends, they're not around. I can go out and have a social life on the weekends, but I try not to go out unless it's a really, you know, strong rationale as to why. And even then, it's like once a week is max. 2, I would have to, my head would explode if I did that. But it is time management. Then yeah. I can do all the things. Plus I'm traveling all the time. You know, the last 2 weeks I was in LA for Vulture Fest and got to see our Vulture brand do this live amazing festival. And then I went directly to London, but stopped at home for 24 hours just so I could hang with the fam. So again, it's like that balance of not just being on the road 2 weeks straight. So it is obviously it's hard, but you know, like I said, it's advertising. So it's all fun at the end of the day.
Yeah. I think as I get older, I'm trying to be more respectful of my own time. It used to be like, oh, you want to go out? Cool. Now it's like, you want to go out? That sucks.
Yeah, exactly. I'm the exact same way. It's like, It's just a high bar now.
Yeah, 100%. So let me ask you, in your business, you've met every famous person on the planet. Is there anybody like on the bucket list for you that's like, listen, I haven't really hung out with this person? Because I mean, your business is that you just hang out with cool people. There's got to be somebody that you're like, I'm going to meet this person. And it's going to be great.
There are so many people. And the number one on my list, I think I have to come down. We'll hang. Yes. He's in Florida. I need to see Sylvester Stallone. I would love to go to dinner with him.
That's amazing. That's like the first name. You want to meet Rocky.
Yeah. I mean, it's the greatest. I use Rocky metaphors so many times, like, you know, over the course of the years, I think like his story is a Rocky story. I just think he's like it's a cool guy to just pick his brain and be like, so you were broke and they asked you to sell the script and you said no. And they asked you to sell the script again and you said no. And then you start in this movie and it changed your life. And it's like, for me, there's always layers. It's not just like, yeah, it was amazing. I got to meet Mike Myers like a couple of weeks ago, took a picture, posted it. He was amazing, but like no shade on Mike Myers, of course. But like, there are a few people in that vein of like, you just really want to pick their brain and have a dinner and like ask them questions, you know? So anyways,
Rocky though? Rocky 1 through 5, which one are we watching?
Well, 5 is not even real. I love 3. I mean, who doesn't love Eye of the Tiger? Yeah, exactly. Cool. Clubber Lang. I mean, it's just like, to me, that's the Rocky 1 is the best, but like Rocky 3 is close.
Yeah. I'm going to get you like a Mr. T costume or something, you know, he needs the podcast. He probably has one. He probably has one on your network for all I know. That'd be amazing.
He's the next one. Don't tell anybody.
Big announcement. All right, Jeff, you are awesome. Listen, everybody's got to go follow Jeff on LinkedIn. The guy just shares the best stuff. Jeff, what else should people get involved with in your world? Just we'll put in the show notes, but anything you want to tell everybody?
I would say one of the key differences about what we're doing is really centering every sort of thing that we do around our talent and our IP. In a world, as you know better than anyone, of commoditized content, every word matters. And so the words need to come from something of high value. And so I think in this world of infinite choice, we're trying to do things that matter, whether it's New York Magazine or The Verge or Eater. And then we're trying to build franchises that break through. So we're doing something in a couple of weeks in Williamsburg called Eater Under Wraps, which is going to be a live holiday market. We'll be at CES, VergeCast Live. So just check out the stuff that we're doing. Obviously, support it. Quality journalism matters and brands matter. And then on the pod side, you have the number one marketing podcast. We have some number ones. You know, take a listen. Megan Rapinoe and Sue Bird are amazing. Their podcast, A Touch More. We just announced the addition of Lonzo Ball's What an Experience, Cam Hayward, who's the reigning NFL Man of the Year. So lots of different pods. And then, of course, Kara Swisher, Scott Galloway in the world of technology and media. So just, you know, support Vox Media, and we appreciate it.
Amazing. Love Galloway. He's the best. All right, Jeff, you are the best. Can't wait to hang. Thanks for doing this, and we'll see you soon.
Absolutely. Happy holidays.
You did it. You made it to the end. Nice. But the party's not over. Subscribe to make sure you get the latest episode each week for more actionable tips and a little chaos from today's top marketers. And hook us up with a 5-star review if this wasn't the worst podcast of all time. Lastly, if you want access to the best virtual marketing events that are also 100% free, visit guruevents.com so you can hear from the world's top marketers like Damon John, Martha Stewart, and me. Guruevents.com. Check it out.